Welcome to the One Hop Podcast. Our goal for this podcast is to equip you to live a life of prayer, individually and corporately. God is raising up watchmen, these communities of intercessors around the globe, and we have such a privilege in Omaha to join the Lord in rebuilding David's fallen tent for ceaseless prayer and worship to rise as an incense before him. We're so glad that you joined us today.
Hey everyone, this is Nicole. Welcome back to the podcast. Even though we took a month off, we are so excited to be back. So we are in the podcast studio today, our new podcast studio today with Kristen.
Hello.
And Drew.
Hello.
And we are just really excited to get this launched again in August.
Yes, we were a little busy in July.
Just a little busy.
So we didn't have an opportunity to get our podcast completed.
And I missed it.
I missed it too. I'm really excited. I couldn't wait. Couldn't wait to get started. Right, Drew? Aren't you glad we're back?
Right. I am. Especially given the month in July.
Yeah, right.
So, awesome news to share with you guys today. We have our building!
We have our building. Yay!
That was really
funny. Choreographed.
Nine months in the making.
Yeah.
We are now in our location on 73rd and Maple.
Yes, we're so excited. And this is the building that, and we're going to share our story today with you, how this building came to be. But we have prayed, and we had prayed, and we had prayed, and we waited, and we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed.
And we cried.
And we cried, and we prayed, because we had this word from the Lord. And so we sit here today celebrating just that the Lord, in his grace and his goodness, opened wide the doors in the city of Omaha for us to be here. So we're, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I don't know about you guys. But I'm maybe a little weird in this, but this last month, well, July was so awesome because I love to clean. Now, if my dad ever listens to this podcast, he will totally disagree with me on that, but I do. I love to clean. So when we got in this building and it was like, oh, it's not
it was
been
gross.
Inhabited for 2 years. I was like, yes, I'm so excited. It was so much fun. I love it.
We called Nicole, well, a rock star, and she was the event coordinator for how we're going to clean, how
the
we're going to paint.
Event.
The cleaning event, yes. The scrubbing event, the sawing. She did it all. So I don't even know. It was funny. She was literally rock star material for like 4 weeks as we prepared the place to open. So we just want to talk about that just a little bit. And Drew, where were you during that that time?
Well, I had a nice time in New York while I was visiting family, and then I came back and had a interesting time in the hospital.
I got sick
on my way home from New York and had a 3-day visit in the hospital, which took me out for a couple weeks after that. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I missed a lot of the painting and the cleaning and the...
You're not sad about that, though,
everything
are you?
Everything else. So, yes, I'm not as big a fan as cleaning as Nicole, so I wasn't extremely disappointed, although I would have much rather been here than in the hospital.
Yeah.
I was, like, still scraping paint off my arms.
Like, oh, my gosh.
2 weeks later.
My Fitbit is covered in paint.
So
it's the constant reminder of our labor of love. And sweat. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we didn't have the air on when we were here, and it was only 185 degrees outside, which meant it was about 185 degrees inside.
Insane.
But thankfully, we were all sweating, so as we were all dripping together, we went through, just for our prayer room side, we went through almost 20 gallons of paint, which is crazy. We had no idea that was... We bought one 5-gallon bucket thinking that was going to cover it.
Well, and then it was like paint. Oh, and primer. Oh, primer doesn't work so well as paint.
Yeah.
Don't buy primer to cover your walls.
But it ended up working. We had to do 3 coats, but it did work.
So.
And we were so blessed. We had so many people. I put just the call out who wants to come and help us paint. And we had so many people. Every day we had people coming and just getting on ladders and
doing all, spending days. We even had one of our great supporters. Her husband took off time from work to come and just paint in an evening. Mm-hmm. And I really feel like even with that, it just gives like buy-in and ownership when you get to be part of what is happening. So yeah. As we walked through the building, it wasn't just us doing it all and preparing mm-hmm. it. We had so many people just sharing their time, their resources. People brought brushes and pans and all kinds of stuff. The first day when it's 8,000 degrees outside, we forgot to bring water for everybody. So, like,
no, whoops. And our toilets didn't work.
We didn't have toilets that worked.
So thank you to those of you who suffered through those first couple days.
It was like going on a mission trip.
I felt like I was back in Mali, actually. I was like, well, at least everybody else is sweating too, so I don't feel so self-conscious about that part of life again.
It was awesome. And Nicole literally had, she sawed, she scrubbed. I have pictures of her holding a toilet seat over her head.
Yes, I had to actually physically remove the toilet seat from the toilet to clean it in the sink.
Oh, yeah.
We won't go into detail.
Yeah, so it was, but we're here and we're open and we have running toilets.
Yes, we have
water.
And clean toilets.
Clean toilets. And we're just so grateful to the Lord for what he has given us here. So
today we're just going to share with you guys our story, how God led us to this building, how he broke through, and really what we thought at times was impossible. And we just want our story to encourage you in your story.
So as we begin talking about our story, I wanted to give a little more of a brief history of the global prayer movement, especially because our story is not just our story. It's also what the Lord is weaving in many communities around the world and what he has been doing for the last 50-plus years. And it's also a part of your story so that you can see that even if you never step foot in our building, if you never meet any of us face-to-face, that this is part of your story because what the Lord has done with us, he wants to do with you and your community and your ministry and your life, and he wants to do around the world on a global scale. So as we look at night and day prayer, of course, night and day prayer has existed since the Old Testament through the tabernacles. Night and day prayer was established in seven of the kings of Judah throughout the Old Testament, as we read in 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles. And there was glimpses of night and day prayer even in the New Testament. But throughout the church history from the last 2,000 years, different areas and geographical locations have maintained night and day prayer through most of the time being in monasteries and convents in medieval Europe or in the Middle East. But there's always been a glimpse of night and day prayer throughout history. And many of these prayer meetings have gone on for 100 years or 200 years at a time, where many monks or nuns would gather together in these monasteries, and they would sing and pray all night long and every day for day after day, year after year, and continuing for even past generations. But our modern history begins of the global prayer movement in South Korea, where the prayer mountain was established in 1973, and this was a 24/7 prayer ministry where prayer and worship are ongoing for 24/7, and it has been since 1973, and that's really probably the first one that we know of in the modern day prayer movement history. And then there's others, for instance, in Jerusalem, the Jerusalem House of Prayer for All Nations was established in 1985, and of course many of us know and are aware of International House of Prayer in Kansas City, which was established in 1999. But in 1984, before Jerusalem House of Prayer was established, there were less than 25 prayer ministries throughout the world that functioned on a night and day basis, that were on a 24/7 basis. Today, however, there are over 10,000 24/7 houses of prayer around the world. And this is a conservative number, as many in some remote areas and some nations that experience an intense level of persecution, we're not even aware of actually how many there are in those nations. So there are at least 20,000, probably much more, around the world today. In America, however, there are only three. Mm-hmm. There are two prayer ministries, Kansas City and Atlanta, the houses of prayer in those cities that have gone longer than 2 years. But we believe that in the next decades, mm-hmm. we'll see an explosion even in Western mm-hmm. nations like America, where houses of prayer go 24/7, exalting the Lord and interceding for a breakthrough in our nation and in the nations of the world. But as we look at this global expansion and explosion of houses of prayer, why is it happening? What's the deal? Is it a fad? Mm-hmm. And, of course, our answer to you mm-hmm. is an emphatic no. Mm-hmm. We see prophecies throughout Scripture in Isaiah and Malachi of this prayer movement that will encompass the global earth with singing and worship and prayer on a night and day basis, watchmen on the wall, and sing mm-hmm. songs that arise from every nation mm-hmm. and yeah. incense. So we know it's biblically ordained from the Old Testament era that in the end times there will be a global prayer movement. It's also a picture of what goes on in heaven even right now and what has existed in heaven for eternity and will exist in heaven for eternity. In the throne room we see prayer and worship, the harp and the bowl in Revelation 8 of what goes on before the throne room of prayer and worship surrounding God's presence even now. Prayer and fasting has always been the primary way that we gain oil to do the work of the kingdom and withstand pressures. This is the divine strategy that the Lord has put into place. He said we're to pray on earth as it is in heaven. And of course, in heaven, we know that it's 24/7 worship and prayer. And so this is the divine strategy that he's given us, and we can't improve on it. Mm-hmm. This is what we have, and this is the Lord's strategy. And it's how we respond to times of judgment, mm-hmm. as well as how we respond in times of prosperity. Mm-hmm. It's also what makes I think the prayer movement even more sustainable than all the other reasons is that it's a picture of the worth of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. That when we get a glimpse of how worthy and how holy and how transcendent and beautiful the man Jesus Christ is, our only rightful response mm-hmm. is to give him all that we have. Mm-hmm. And on earth, on this side of heaven, that looks mm-hmm. like 24/7. But of course, he's worthy of so much more. If we could give 25/8, mm-hmm. 367, then the Lord would be worth that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think even more interestingly, as we see the things around the world and around the nations begin to unfold and the times become more perilous and we see darkness increase around the world, the prayer movement, I believe, is a preemptive strike against the forces of darkness. Mm. That Jesus, as the ultimate strategist, has positioned the prayer movement for such a time as mm-hmm. this, as we begin to align light with light and darkness with darkness. Mm-hmm. And so as we begin our story, mm-hmm. we want to just clue you in and invite you in to this global story that the Lord is unfolding. And of course, we are so excited to be a part of it. But even as we look globally, we're such a small part. Mm-hmm. That we're a significant part nonetheless, mm-hmm. but we right. are such a small part as the Lord is unfolding a global story of monumental magnitude that we can't even fathom.
Mm-hmm. That's good. And then that just connects with, you know, as these altars of worship and prayer are now burning really all over the earth, we're seeing the beginning of the fulfillment of Malachi 1:11, which is one of our kind of foundational scriptures for what we're doing, which is, my name will be great among the nations, from where the sun rises to where it sets, in every place, and I put in Omaha in parentheses, in every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to me, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord. So we are excited to be able to build this house because, as Drew was saying, he's worthy. Why does Omaha need a house of prayer? It's not that Omaha needs it. It's that Jesus deserves it. He deserves our attention. He's worthy of our time. He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our affection. He's worthy of our love. He's worthy of our energy, this unceasing and extravagant worship and devotion are what the Lord is looking for. So we are just excited to share our story with you, and we invite you in as we just kind of share, be with you, what God has been doing. And we understand that God's been working behind the scenes. We understand that He has been, this has been His plan, and it's His purpose. It's not like we've come up with this. God's been doing this on the earth, and it's His desire to really rebuild David's tabernacle. What was it that David saw that he desired to have? Right. You know, what glimpse did he have of the throne room, and what does that look like? So we're asking that same question, that we would have a glimpse. We want to know that Drew was talking about the worship and the prayer and the thunder and the lightning and the, you know, all that's happening, the elders bowing down and the angelic, and that's the seat of government for all the earth. So we get to partner with him in that place and just declare his beauty and partner with him. What are you saying, God? And we just agree with him. That's what our desire is, that we just agree with him in everything that he's wanting to do and who he is. Nicole, why don't you share how we started?
All right. As a team, we were just praying and asking the Lord, like, okay, it's time for a building. What do we do? And so just by encouragement from friends and from other ministry people that we know, we were encouraged to do a pray and seek. I had never done one before. I think, Kristen, had you?
Kind of, similar.
And I was completely opposed to the idea.
And so, but we were kind of, you know, I'm not going to speak for all of us, but I was feeling very desperate. Mm-hmm. My heart needed mm-hmm. a word from the Lord. Mm-hmm. Amen. I needed direction individually and for us as a team. And so on January 25th, we decided to do this, just to give it a shot. We didn't know what was going to happen. We were like, hey, you know what? Something's better than nothing. We can't just sit here and do nothing. And just, so we launched into this. So at the time, we had six staff members, and we set up camp at one of our local churches in their prayer room. Four of us stayed at the prayer room, and then two, Kristen and Drew, got in their car, and the four of us stayed and prayed. And mm-hmm. we literally just sat in the room and said, okay, Lord, we just will you speak to us? Mm-hmm. Will you tell us what you want to tell us? Will you give us pictures, give us words, give us scripture, anything that will help us to know a location of this city that you're wanting us in? Because we all know Omaha is a big city. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I'm surprised I didn't get in an accident, because every time I was driving, I was looking for,
Me too.
That says for lease. Yes. That says for rent. And I'm like trying to drive. And so we're like, okay, God, we just need you to narrow down even just an area of town. Mm-hmm. What are you saying? And so over the next 2 hours, mm-hmm. I have it written down.
Yep.
2:33 to 4:36 p.m. on January 25th, the Lord gave us 80 words, mm-hmm. whether that was pictures or scripture, mm-hmm. or just physical words, mm-hmm. that he was speaking to us. And I will tell you, this being very new to me, I hadn't done it before, I felt kind of silly at times, because some of the words felt very random. Mm-hmm. But we're like, you know, we're just gonna walk in faith. And so every time one of us got a word, we would text it to
Drew. Yeah.
And as they were driving, they would either see those things, uh-huh. or not see those things. Uh-huh. And actually, you guys did see quite a few. I have
Yeah.
check marks by yep. them.
So let me explain a little bit how the car ride went, because this is part of the reason why I was so apprehensive about it in the first place. Kristen and I's job was to get into the car and begin to drive blindly.
Well, not actually blindly.
So
without direction.
Yes. No direction.
No clue of where we're going. We just get in the car and go, and we wait for my text to come in with some word. And the words are odd words, like ocean. Okay.
Yeah.
We had
pasture.
I mean, yellow flowers. Now let me tell you about January 25th. It was in the middle of a snowstorm.
That's right.
So I'm like, we live in Nebraska, and it's snowstorm outside. I don't think we're going to see very many yellow flowers or ocean or any of these odd things that they are texting. And we did end up seeing ocean, and we saw yellow flowers, and we saw all these things. And so as I'm sitting there skeptical in the car, all of these things are suddenly showing up in our journey. And I have to humble myself and see what the Lord is really doing. So
it was interesting. It was a stretching time, I think, for all of us. Because even though many of us have walked in the prophetic for a while, for a good season of time, for at least the three of us, it was still a new aspect that I hadn't done before. I mean, I had heard stories of people doing this, but I had never personally been involved. And so as word after word after word just kept coming in and kept coming in, I was like, okay, you're saying something, and we weren't communicating. So us in the prayer room, we were texting Drew and Kristen, but we weren't receiving anything back. So we had no idea if any of this was being seen. We had no idea, and that really stretched me because I was like, oh my gosh, like,
such a step of faith for you guys, right?
Like, are they actually seeing anything? I'm like, I mean, some of the word, like, I got a word where it was like a car with a dent on the side, or me or Hannah, you know, someone got
well, that could have been the two accidents that we came across in the snowstorm.
And I was like, pothole. I was like, it's Omaha in January. There's like nothing but potholes. Okay, Lord, are you just saying just one big street? So it was interesting, but towards the end of our time, as we were kind of winding down, the Lord spoke to me very clearly and put the scripture Ezekiel 37, verses 24 to 28. He just put it on my heart, and I had never read, I had never read that before, or maybe, I'm sure I've read it, but I never focused on it. I mean, the first part of Ezekiel 37, of course, like Valley of Dry Bones, got that. And I was reading it. I was like, this makes no sense whatsoever. I am not going to tell them this. Like, I had it, and he was so specific. And I was like, Lord, this doesn't make sense. I just don't feel comfortable sharing this. And he was very adamant that I needed to share it.
And mind you, it had no significance to Kristen and I in the car either.
That's right.
No.
That's true. No.
We're driving around in a snowstorm, and we get Ezekiel 37, 24, 28. We're like, well, it's a great verse. You know, right. Praise the Lord, but we don't see it anywhere.
Yeah, it's like, is it going to be a billboard that says Ezekiel 37, 24 to 28 with an arrow? Like, I had no idea what he was trying to say in that. And it wasn't until the next week that ended up being kind of one of the biggest clues that we received.
So we finished, and we ended up, like, they were, Nicole and the team were not getting really any more words. So we just figured, well, we'll just go back. We'll drive back and connect and talk about it and pray about it. See what the Lord does.
And we didn't end up anywhere significant. I mean, we were around 84th and Center was kind driving of the place around that we were at. Most of the time, we went by there about four or five times, but we didn't find a building. We didn't find all these things that we thought were going to happen. We did not happen. And so there I'm sitting there like, well.
See, told you.
Yeah, like, this is ridiculous. And, you know, we found ocean and yellow flowers, but we didn't find a building. So.
And there was, even as we were driving around that 84th and Center area, there weren't even buildings for lease. So there was no property, and it was, we were thinking, well, what is going on? So fast forward a week later, I'm driving home from my daughter's house, and I see several of our clues that we never found. I see like a mobile, I saw a laundromat. I saw like a mobile boost station. I saw, there was a pine tree at the sitting, like it's literally right now, kind of right next to our property. They have, it's like a garden center, a pine tree in the way. And then I drove past this property that we're actually currently in, and I saw the outside of the building looked like they were green triangles, like the soffit area, mm-hmm. which was one of...
We got a lot of the color green, uh-huh. and we got a few words that said triangle. Mm-hmm. And then we had a brick building with white uh-huh. and glass door. Those were some of the pictures that yeah. we were getting as we were praying.
So I pull in. I thought, well, I'm just going to go look at that building. So I pulled in. This is like a week later. And I just peek through the glass that I can see. And what I saw was a room that looked like a prayer room. And I freaked out and called my husband. I'm like, oh, my gosh. What if this is what the mm-hmm. Lord, he was giving us clues, not for that day a week yeah. ago, but for this, maybe this mm-hmm. is the place. Mm-hmm. So then the whole team came over, mm-hmm. and the address connected to the Ezekiel. So mm-hmm. do you want to, because I didn't even see that.
So the address of our building is 7324. And at the time that we were at the standing here at this empty building, there's three doors that had numbers on them. Mm-hmm. So it was 3724, 3726, 3728, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. which is interesting because the physical address was never on the building, 7330.
No. Right.
And so just switch the 3 and the 7 around, mm-hmm. and you got 3724 mm-hmm. to 28. Mm-hmm. And that was...
Yeah,
well, we kind of freaked out. Actually,
you did. We sat in the parking lot, and Nicole just read it.
I got my Bible, and I was like,
and we prayed, and we said, "Lord, is this mm-hmm. is this the place? Is yeah. this the significance of everything?" So go ahead, and then we'll continue in that.
Part of the verses, the Lord is saying that he's going to, you know, when the sanctuary is set in the midst of the people mm-hmm. of Israel. He'll make a covenant of peace to them. He'll multiply their numbers. He'll set their sanctuary in their midst forever. And there's two names that are very dominant in this passage. It's David, King David, and Jacob. And mm-hmm. so I'm like, even as I'm reading this, I know the numbers are significant. Mm-hmm. But even then, I'm like, okay, well, sanctuary, yep, that's awesome. Multiply our numbers, yes and amen.
Yeah,
you know, and that our sanctuary will be in this place. Okay, Lord, that's awesome. And it wasn't until the next day mm-hmm. that we called mm-hmm. the company who has the property, mm-hmm. and the real estate agent at the time, his name is Jake, mm-hmm. Jacob, mm-hmm. and the owner of the building's name is David, mm-hmm. and that was beyond a coincidence. Mm-hmm, right. That was such
right.
a word from right. the Lord. So, like, clear. I think it's the clearest word I've ever had.
We began to pray and ask the Lord, from everything that you're pointing out in this mm-hmm. scripture, could this be, we would pray, mm-hmm. you hold the key of David.
Yes.
So, Lord, open up the doors mm-hmm. and open up that we would be able to be a part of building a sanctuary in this space.
Mm-hmm. So as we, had these words from the Lord, we have all of these names and numbers matching up. And so we're like, what do we do with this? Because we weren't getting really anywhere as we were kind of pursuing actually leasing the building mm-hmm. at first. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, okay, well, we'll pray. So every Monday we, in our staff meeting, we would take an hour and we would just mm-hmm. sit before the Lord. And we would just ask him to reveal more. And we would declare what he had already spoken and continue to press in and ask the Lord to manifest in the natural what mm-hmm. we felt mm-hmm. like he had promised us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we did that every Monday for months. Mm-hmm. And we waited.
Yeah, that's good. That's what we did.
That's like the best way to like say that.
It is.
And we waited.
And we waited. So as we waited and we prayed, and we'll share more about that as mm-hmm. we continue. But we just really held this word from the Lord, and I just want that to be an encouragement to you all also, mm-hmm. that if you have a word from the Lord, like we waited from the time that we received that word, mm-hmm. when we started the Pray and Seek
yeah.
in January, we signed the lease on July 11th.
Yeah.
So it was a long period of time. And actually, before we started really praying for a particular building, we had been meeting, we'd been praying, we'd been yeah. doing things for several
yeah.
months.
Yeah.
So in the midst of all of this, And there's so much more to this. But I had two dreams in the midst of all of this that I was giving birth, which, you know, I mean, you know, that's that I've had those just several times in my life. I mean, I've actually given birth, but I've had several dreams. And usually it means some, you know, you're giving birth to something new. Yeah. So there was this, these two dreams that I had about giving birth. And in both of them, I had said, I'm so glad I'm giving birth in the city of Omaha because my other three children were born in other places. And then I would wake up. So that was, to me, I thought, okay, God, you know, it's that confirmation. And each one of us have had confirmations of what he's doing and what he's leading us into. Then I went, so we're waiting and we're praying. And there was a little bit of just getting, maybe the Lord is leading us, but maybe there's another area that he's looking at. So
yeah.
Not trying to be just really disappointed, trust in the Lord, and just knowing that where the Lord was taking us, we were at the College World Series prayer room, and it was the last night of the College World Series prayer room, and I was helping clean up, and a woman came up to me and asked me who I'd been doing we'd been connected in prayer things before. So she just asked where we were at with the building and what was going on, and I told her without trying to sound discouraged that it had been, you know, we've been waiting and we've been praying and nothing's really moving in this. And maybe the Lord is, you know, was giving us a promise, but it's not exactly this particular building. So I'm just trying to, like, defend who we are. And she said to me, like, just matter of fact, we know it takes 9 months to birth. And it was like something jumped in my heart and awakened in me. Like, oh, and then I was reminded of the two dreams that I had. And so there was this, oh, we're going to stand on this word of the Lord. That was my own personal, you know, kind of right then I needed my heart to be just really awakened again to what the Lord had promised. And from that point, so I'm counting backwards and I'm like, oh my gosh, that would mean July. If it's 9 months, that would mean July. And sure enough, when we, it's the, and then suddenly that we really felt like the Lord was going to do anyway. And it was literally an, and then suddenly, because we felt like all the doors had closed and it was like, boom,
all of a sudden,
it was, and all of a sudden, they were opened. So that was the 9 month process. And so, you know, for me, it's just really encouraged me in my faith. You know, I walk in here now and I just, every day I just start with just praise. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for what you've done. So don't be discouraged if you've been waiting a long time. Yeah. We waited 9 months for this to come forth, and we stood for this particular building for
six full months.
Mm-hmm. We declared, we prayed, we carried it. We carried that word in our hearts. There's so much more to the story, and we, you know, we don't want to just keep rambling. But anything else that either of you want to add about just something where, I don't know, that you, where you, how you were carrying the word, maybe that would connect with people?
Well, I think for me, when I came back from the mission field overseas and came home to domestic missions, it's a whole different world of, you know, international and domestic missions. I would not have guessed I was going to go into another season of waiting.
Yeah.
Because I had, in our previous location, I was only there for 2 months, you know, looking back on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for me, it was just another reminder that the Lord's just got it in his hands. Because I had waited almost 14 years from when I felt like the Lord said I was going to be in missions to when I actually got onto the field. And so for me, it was kind of like, oh my goodness, another season of waiting. But I think for me, it was, I had a word again.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I had a word and I was able to hold on to it. And so even though it was hard for me personally to have another season of waiting, I felt very thankful that he had just, he had spoken to me. He was very clear. He was saying something very clear. And I think for me, the difference was I had a team to hold it with.
Amen.
To carry that word with. Where before, you know, my missions, it was my life.
Yeah.
It was me holding and trying to carry this thing.
Yeah.
Not always doing it well. And so it was totally different about carrying a word with a team than it was to carry alone. So I just want to encourage you, if you have a word from the Lord, don't just keep it to yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, find one, find two, find three. Find a company of people that you can share that word with so that they can hold it with you. Mm-hmm. It may not affect their lives individually, but they can stand in prayer with you and to continue to encourage you. And the Lord will speak to them, too, about it. And so just to have that, because then we're not walking alone. David never walked alone. You know, it's so, it just feel like it's really important that that's something that I've really learned out of this last 9 month season is just what what the Lord's saying about the promises that he gives to us individually and corporately.
And in that, he keeps us, like, if you're thinking, oh, I just don't know if it's going to happen, in community, when somebody stands and prays and declares, and this is who God is, and starts speaking in such a way of bringing forth that word, it causes your spirit to rise up, you know? And I don't know, that. How about anything that you want to add to that, Drew, in that?
Yeah, no, I totally agree that it was so much easier to keep because we were all keeping it. And so if one person was having a bad week, then chances, even if four of us were having a bad week, chances were somebody of the six was, you know, they were doing all right, and they could pray and encourage everyone else in that. So.
And I think, too, like, we started talking about it. We started, not only in our community, when we felt like this word is from the Lord, and we started sharing it with, like, the our financial partners. Here's what we're believing the Lord for. So we weren't just involving our community. We were inviting our community at large to come alongside with us and stand and pray and declare.
In the coming months, we'll continue to share and, you know, unfold and unpack more of our prophetic history and fill in a lot of the details. We wish we could share more even now, but we'd be sitting here for another, you know, 6 hours. So we will share more, and but we do want to let you know that in September, on the 23rd and 24th, that's a Friday and Saturday, we will be having our open house for our new building at 7324 Maple Street. And so mark on your calendars. We will have times where you can come and see, and we'll have snacks and stuff. And then we'll also have our prayer meetings that you can join and be a part of and see a little bit of what it is to live life in the house of prayer and to celebrate with us. And so mark that on your calendar, Friday and Saturday, September 23rd and 24th. So there will be more details on the times and the actual schedule of events and everything that will be on our website and on our Facebook page. So check that out, www.onehop.org.
So we'll look forward to the next time we connect. It's just been really good to sit down in our new space and just share with you all what we are, how we got here and what we're doing.